Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We'll analyze the psyche of Luke Weaver, who had a therapy session with the media a couple of days ago. Let Tiki analyze it, plus your calls. Giants, Jets, are Yankee fans confident? Are they giving up down 0-2? 888-808-1019, but a shade after 5 o'clock, it's time for your Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. Yesterday was as bad a Sunday or bad a sports day in the New York area as we have seen in a long, long time. So simply put, your Cinco today is the five people that made Sunday suck the most.
Ah, I like that.
All right, here we go.
Number five.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Breece Hall. And we love Breece, but what a fumble, bro.
Yeah, it's so weird, man, because Breece could not be stopped on the ground. Like, could not be stopped. And I think one of the biggest problems the Jet offense has is not feeding him enough. But that fumble was the ultimate buzzkill, game-changing moment.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Can't happen. All right, here we go.
Number four.
This one's a bit of a cop-out because I don't exactly know who fully put the blame at. So I'm just going to say Shane Bowen. How many big plays does this defense need to give up to teams that shouldn't be making big plays on them in moments that shouldn't be making big plays? Yeah. Now, we talked about Newman on the Shaheed play. Condre Miller running nuts. This is still Spencer Rattler. I haven't won a football game. They moved the ball too easily.
It's funny, man, because as bad as it seemed, I actually didn't think the defense played terrible.
It didn't. You know what my big issue is, though? Kellen Moore and the Saints offense schemed a way to try to alleviate the Giants pass rush.
Yeah.
Is anybody on our coaching staff ever going to be able to out-scheme a scheme done to them and make an in-game adjustment?
I don't know. Maybe not, but they bent and didn't break a lot.
Yeah.
They gave up a bunch of field goals.
Again, that's why it's number four. Mm. Other problems. All right, here we go.
Number three.
Aaron Glenn. Dude, you're a defensive mind. The team can't play any defense. And basically after the game, you're talking about, hey, it's going to take more time, guys. You're 0-5 and haven't turned the team over once.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, actually.
It's
no fumbles, no fumble recoveries, no interceptions. It doesn't make any sense. Almost by accident, you're going to get a turnover.
That's what I'm saying. Like, accidentally, you force a turnover. And what's mind-numbing about this, and don't take this as me apologizing to Robert Saleh. I'm not. I don't think he was a good head coach. But ever since Woody Johnson fired him, five games in the last year, the defense went from good, maybe underachieving, but good, to a freaking dumpster fire.
It's right. Unrecognizable to what it once was.
I mean, almost literally right after he got fired.
Yeah.
And they haven't been the same since.
I know. And by the way, Robert Saleh's brother went on social media to bash the Jets. You want to hear this? This is from David Saleh. Last year, the Jets were 2-3 playing for first place in the division when Woody Johnson declared the best roster in franchise history needed a spark. Since then, the Jets' defense has gone from first to worst, donning a record of 3-14. Hashtag all gas, no break. Hashtag AGNB. Hashtag Victory Monday. Hashtag the spark. That's Robert Saleh's brother.
Right. Yeah. Meanwhile, the Robert Saleh-led San Francisco 49ers defense is top 15? Top 10 in the league?
Here's the thing.
And they're 4-1.
Here's the thing. Robert Saleh is proving to be the brains behind the Jet defense. It doesn't take away the fact that he was a terrible head coach.
Oh, no, of course not. But they should have just demoted him to defensive coordinator.
I know, and it doesn't work that way, but in a simplistic world, sure, why not?
You know what, Rob? You're not going to be the head coach anymore. We're not getting rid of you because we need you. Yeah. Be the DC. We're going to just pull some dude off the street to be the head coach.
That would work. One day, there's going to be a guy who swallows his pride.
By the way, that would have been better than what they did.
Of course.
I mean, I'm saying facetiously, that's what they should. It would have been better than what they did.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Because everything fell apart.
Speaking of falling apart, here we go.
Number two.
Number two on the five people that made Sunday suck the most is clearly Darius Slayton. Get out of my face, bro. Mm. It's been 7 years of you dropping passes, making fumbles, and chirping online anytime somebody gives Malik Nabers credit. I'm so done with Darius Slayton after yesterday.
Horrific right. Sunday for Darius Slayton.
Yeah. It was the worst day of a lot, maybe of his career.
Yeah. Well, and you forget, he had some bad ones, too. Mm-hmm. All right. And here we go. Last but not least.
Number one.
This fake ace, Max Fried. I mean, the team needs you. You are not a pimple on Gerrit Cole's ass. What he gave yesterday, I still can't believe that was the effort Max Fried gave.
He looked lost.
Lost. And Toronto's beat him around all year.
Gerrit Cole has never had bad postseason starts.
He's still not. I'm sorry. Well, did Max Fried grow a blister yesterday? What happened?
Well, what happened in the 2021 wildcard game when Cole got chased after
he
two?
Did. Cole's had his bad moments.
Well, then why did you invoke his name? Like, aces have bad days.
Who's better, Gerrit Cole or Max Fried?
Well, Gerrit Cole, but here's
okay, thank you. That's it.
Max Fried was terrible yesterday. I'm not defending him. But, you know, you're still allowed to compete in a baseball game and, dare I say, win a baseball game when your starting pitcher gets knocked out early.
You know how you do that? When you bring in a reliever with guys on instead of Will Warren to throw batting practice. That helps, too.
Yeah. That, also not getting no-hit into the sixth inning.
Sure.
That, like, there are things that can be done. So to put it all on Max Fried,
It's not all on Max Fried. Some of it, as crazy as it sounds, has to be on Aaron Boone. Because didn't it feel like he just conceded?
He did. It definitely did. And right. it felt like he did on Saturday, to be frank, 6-1, too.
I think that he mismanaged that inning instead of going to one reliever to clean it up and then go to Will Warren to eat up innings.
Absolutely.
Which would have made a lot more sense. He put a guy in position that he's not used to.
All right, so you want 1B, Aaron Boone?
Well, I mean, you did a Cinco and you only included one Yankee. Meanwhile, they're down 0-2 in the ALDS.
It was what? It didn't say who made the weekend suck. It was who made Sunday suck.
And it was only Max Fried, nobody else?
Max Fried gave them basically no shot from the jump.
I agree.
He deflated the entire lineup.
I agree he's number one, but you didn't include any other Yankee. No one else.
What other Yankee would have qualified?
Well, Warren, Aaron Boone, those are two candidates.
No, Will Warren was dead. He was sacrificial.
Gave up a grand slam to Vlad.
Sacrificial lamb.
Dude, he doesn't have to give up a grand slam to Vlad.
I only have five games to work with, okay?
Well, apparently they're cheating, so it doesn't matter.
The Jets fell to 0-5 and the Giants lost to the Saints. I had to make room for football guys here.
Listen, the Blue Jays aren't cheating, Teak.
I don't think
they're cheating. Here's what I think is going on in baseball. I'm going to try to put this in non-cheating words.
Mm-hmm.
We are all looking to get an edge. We are all looking to get and know as much information as we can. So I'm going to give you an example. In the Philly-Dodger game that I was glued to the other night because I hate the Phillies, it definitely appeared that Matt Strom, their lefty reliever, was keeping his glove wide open. And the base runner on second, and I'm trying to remember who it was, may have been Mookie Betts, I forget, was signaling, like, with his hand, which I think led to Teoscar Hernandez having an idea of the pitch that was coming. And maybe it's because, not because they were doing anything nefarious, Matt Strom left his glove open. They saw.
Hmm.
They signaled it. Teoscar hit a bomb to right center field for a game-winning home run. I think that teams are so locked in on everything. And it doesn't mean you're cheating. Mm-hmm. It just means teams are so locked in on everything that they may be finding edges off of you.
Right.
So is it possible? Is it possible that the Blue Jays, for whatever reason, not because they're hacking something illegally, but they're getting signs on Max Fried or signs on Luke Weaver or signaling various things, something the Yankees are really good at. The Yankees are really good at picking up signs, and that's why you'll see Aaron Judge on second base wiggling his arms. That's not cheating. That's baseball in 2025. It's smart, and you're looking for any edge you can get.
Right.
And so is it possible, especially when you see the Blue Jays hitting the way they did and their success they've had against the Yankees, is it possible that they've got something on the Yankees? Absolutely. But that's not cheating.
No. That's just baseball.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Susan?
Yes! Yes! So, I don't think we need to jump to that conclusion, but we have to at least admit, boy, the Blue Jays' ownership over the Yankees at Rogers Center makes you wonder, what do they have on them? And I think our brains always jump to, well, that means they're doing something nefarious. Not really. They just may be picking up on stuff that we don't even realize.
But why can't they pick up on it when they're elsewhere?
I don't know.
Why can't they pick up on it while in their Yankee Stadium?
Take, if I knew that answer, they wouldn't be picking up on it because the Yankees would fix it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, but it just feels like if that doesn't translate, if their chase rate is 30% in game three, then you have to start asking serious questions and start scratching your head why it's not the case when they're at home.
I don't think you ask serious
because it's not like, I mean, the problem is technology has taken over everything, and now everything is pitch calm, and in theory, you shouldn't be able to steal signs.
Right. You're more stealing locations.
Yes.
And in the case of what happened in the Philly Dodger game, you may be stealing the hand of Strom and how he's positioning it on the baseball, his pitch grips. Now, Matt Strom has come out and said, not true. I position it the same way no matter what pitch I'm throwing. So he's trying to downplay it like, no, they didn't steal anything.
Right. I'm not tipping anything.
But he also doesn't want to be embarrassed that he's tipping things.
Right. He doesn't want to make it a thing that he's tipping. Because that's when he really turns to crap at that point.
But I think that teams are on very high alert, and they're trying to pick up on any edge they can pick up on. And the Yankees have succeeded at it at times, and maybe the Blue Jays are succeeding at it right now. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Justin in Dobbs Ferry. What's up, Justin?
What's going on? Switching back to the Giants here. I've just got a question for Tiki. What is Jalen Hyatt doing on this team? You saw Dart screaming at him yesterday when Dart made a run and Hyatt was just staring at the play like, they don't want to play football.
Right. Get in the way of the defender and protect your quarterback. That's what he was screaming at him for because he's just standing there when Jackson Dart got sandwiched, basically.
Yeah, this guy can't catch. He had 8 catches last year, zero catches this year. Like, it doesn't look like he knows how to play football. It looks like he just knew how to run really fast, and somebody threw him the ball, and he caught it.
Well,
now he has to go against.
He's an example, and appreciate your call, Justin, of where college football is failing development of players in the league. Now, some of these colleges, they're great because they teach well, they have good coaching staffs, they put these kids in position to learn and be good when they take the next step. But at Tennessee, a lot of Jalen Hyatt's big games, especially the Alabama game, if you guys remember that one where he had 300-something yards receiving, he was wide open. It was all schemed. He was schemed open because Alabama played a ton of man. And so they ran all of these crosses and picks, and he's just wide open. And that doesn't prepare you for the NFL. Because in the NFL, you might get wide open 2% of the time. Maybe. Probably less than that, to be honest with you. Every catch is going to be a contested catch in some capacity.
So you better be able to make them.
And these guys don't know how to make them.
Well, then you're kind of useless if that's the case.
I 100% agree. I mean, this is a failure of drafting and expecting a kid to do something that he's never been asked to do. And so, yeah, I fault Jalen Hyatt for not developing in his four years here. And so, but still, it's like you reached.
Yeah.
And he's not living up to the reach.
Not even close. Tom is in Coram, New York. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
All's good.
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. Look, I got a point on both the Yankees and the Giants. Both these managers, coaches, they have to go. They stink, okay? I mean, Aaron Boone has lived off his Red Sox home run for too long. Too long. I watch him standing on the steps, and to me it doesn't look like his heart is in the game.
Well, that part is not fair, and I think that equating Boone to Daboll is also not fair. I mean, Brian Daboll is dealing with history against his back.
if the Giants finish under 500, he's going to try to become the first coach in Giant history to get another year back after three consecutive losing seasons. That's not Aaron
That's not
Boone.
Happening, by the way.
Which part?
He's not getting another season if he has another horrible losing season.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
So equating him to Boone is very different. And the tough decision
that's in the playoffs every year, save one.
Look, the tough decision around Boone is this. All right? And this is for, I'm going to throw it out there and then you guys can decide on this. Because I'm, you know, my opinion. Aaron Boone has never lost a playoff series he wasn't supposed to lose. Mm. Okay? Every time he's lost a playoff series, 2018 of the Red Sox were better.
Yeah.
2019 of the Astros, they were better. 2020, the Rays, payroll or not, were better. 21, Red Sox were better. 22, Astros were better. Last year, we could argue, Dodgers were better. It's never happened where he's lost to a team he shouldn't lose to. Almost happened to the Red Sox, but it didn't.
All right, so
what
about
are the Blue Jays?
What is this series?
Well, that's for you to decide. You tell me.
Well, I don't know. We'll see how far the Blue Jays goes. If the Blue Jays end up in the World Series and then maybe even hell win it, are we saying the Yankees were the better team? You can't.
Yeah, well, I think the decision's going to be made before that happens. Like, if the Yankees lose tomorrow and get swept, this is going to be the debate around here for the next week, which is, do you bring this man back?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the debate is going to be about, believe it or not, the Blue Jays. Because in the past, one of the arguments that I've used and others have used is, listen, they weren't as good.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way about Toronto. So I'm going to tell you my opinion. I think the Yankees are better. Now, is it closer than some of the other rounds they've had where they've been the better team? Absolutely. It is closer than debating the Guardians of last year or the Royals of last year. But it's close.
Yeah.
And that's why, and a part of why I think it is going to be a very heated debate, not just internally in the Bronx, but certainly on this radio station about the future of Aaron Boone. But I got good news. They haven't been eliminated yet. The series isn't over despite proclamations from Morash over there.
I'm done not sticking to my guns. It's over. The team is dead. I'm tired of caving after waving the pom-poms.
Ooh, wait, hold on a second. The last time you did this with me back in late August, you unprovoked declared that if the Yankees beat the Red Sox, you'd go to Penn Station. Do you have the audio, by the way, Tommy? I got to replay it real quick instead of me figuring it out. This is what Sean Morash was saying back in August when the Yankees were playing the Red Sox, and I tried to be the voice of reason like I am now. Calm them down. The Yankees are better. It's August. Don't worry. The Yankees will beat them. Do you have it ready? Because I'm vamping. I'll vamp for 10 hours if you need. You just tell me.
It's funny how stuff like that gets deleted. I don't know where it went.
You son of a man. And trust me, it won't get deleted because I'll re-find it immediately. But as the Yankees were playing the Red Sox in August, Sean was making these declarative statements.
Mm-hmm.
And so he put himself out there because he made declarative statements that if the Yankees beat the Red Sox, he would have to do a variety of things. And some of these things are weird. Some of these things are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
One of them involved like his butt cheeks at Penn Station.
What?
Which I don't even know what provoked that. Like, right. I wasn't asking.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Anger. That's where it came
from. Oh, it came from anger?
Anger.
Kiss my bare butt cheeks.
Yeah. So
that
I don't.
Mean you have to wear like a thong or something?
Yeah, there was another one where you had to wear a thong. I'll find it on my phone. It's a lot easier that way, trust me. But the bottom line
that's
is
ridiculous. If the Yankees beat the Red Sox in the playoffs, I'll allow us to go to Penn Station. You could play my butt cheeks like they're Bengals out there. And
why would I do that?
Because that's how ridiculous that would be.
Bengals. Aren't they bongos?
Bongos, I think is what he
meant.
What
I call them?
Bengals.
You're right. They're bongos.
So since you said that about the Red Sox, and since you're being so declarative today on Monday, October 6th, with the Yankees down 0-2, what else you got?
I'm not doing anything anymore. I'm so tired of you, whoever your stupid research guy Dan is. I'm tired of saying stuff that gets me in trouble down the line. Here's it. No bets. No nothing. I didn't believe in this team after July because they were dead. They're still as dead as they've ever been. And one fluffy wild card series isn't going to change that. They are underachieving stinky doo-doos, and that's it.
So no drums in Penn Station?
No, right. I'm done.
I like the stinky doo-doos, though.
They are.
That's
just
great.
It's just okay to accept. By the way.
It's like you're talking to your children.
Exactly.
Your little girls.
Exactly. You're a stinky doo-doo head.
You're being a stinky doo-doo head.
I'm just tired of this idea of being a fan means you absolutely have to be like, well, anything could happen. The team told us a long time ago who they were. They asked us to listen. Some of us chose to, some of us didn't. I'm going back to listening. They are not a championship team. They stink for what they should be, and that's it. And whatever happens in the next three games, whichever night they choose to tip their cap to the crowd and say, thank you, fans.
They're not doing
whether it's tomorrow night, Thursday night, Friday, whatever the hell, it's over. And that's it. And the quicker we come to grips with that, the more sane we will all be.
With that said, tomorrow we're going to be doing 5.5 hours live from Yankee Stadium.
Yay.
So I'm curious his mood tomorrow. You think he's going to have that same vitriol?
Not even close.
No, I'll wake up with the pep in my step, and I'll put my underwear on, I'll put my pants on, and I'll go in and think, you know what, anything can happen. And I'll be a big, fat, losing, pathetic sack of you-know-what again. And I'm just prepared for it.
All right. As long as he's accepted that. Let's go to Rob in Westwood, New Jersey. Hey, Rob.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How are you?
All's good. What's up, dude?
What's up, man?
Not much. I heard you guys on the Cinco with Sala having to swallow his pride with being D.C. How about Vance Joseph swallowing his pride and being the D.C. over at Denver after he got fired?
The difference was it happened years later.
Yeah.
Like, a guy going back to his former stomping grounds to take a lesser job, that happens. But immediately being demoted to a coordinator's job? I mean, tell me when that has ever happened.
It's never. I don't think it's ever happened in the modern game.
Maybe, no.
Maybe years ago, probably it did in some capacity, but I don't think it's ever happened in the modern
game. Yeah, it'd be like,
because they're paying the head coach too much.
It would be like if the Mets said to Carlos Mendoza, we're going to demote you to bench coach. We're bringing in Bruce Bochy. Like, that would never happen.
No.
It sounds great in theory. I actually remember Tommy bringing this up to me a year ago where he's like, hey, guys, I got a great idea. And I'm like, uh-oh.
It would create such a weird dynamic in the locker room or clubhouse.
Of course it would. But Tommy suggested it. He said, hey, how about Salah's D.C.? And I remember even saying to you, of course, in theory, he's a wonderful defensive coordinator, but it just would never, ever, ever happen. And unfortunately, it wouldn't. And now Robert Saleh's in San Francisco showing what we already knew, which is he's a good defensive mind.
Yeah, we remember that conversation differently. I think you said, save it for the Lou Gower. Then you called me an idiot.
I did, yes.
And then I brought up another example, and then you like pivoted to
There's
Sean.
No example.
I think I came up with something.
No, no, but like our last caller said Vance Joseph, but the difference was that was five, it was like 3 years later?
Yeah.
I'm talking about immediate. It's never happened. Tiki just said it.
Robert Saleh's going to get another head coaching job, I think.
I agree
people are going to point to the Jets. The Jets are toxic, and it wasn't Saleh. And I think he's going to be a head coach next year, and based on former Jets and Giants having success elsewhere, like a Daniel Jones, etc., he's probably going to have a successful head coach.
Yeah, but what coaches have? That's a different story. What coaches?
Todd Bowles.
Bowles.
Oh, yeah, good point. That's a good point.
Speaking of the Jets.
But you know what? Here's where I don't even get annoyed by it.
With Todd Bowles?
With Todd Bowles and even with Robert Saleh, if that does happen. Sometimes you need to fail at your job to get better at your job.
Well, of course.
And
you need to take some time away from that particular job.
1,000%.
Now, Robert Saleh did not go completely away because he wasn't. Didn't he immediately go be an analyst?
Yeah, he worked for the Packers organization.
Right, as an analyst right after.
Yeah.
And then he got hired as a defensive coordinator.
Yes.
This season.
But that's taking a step back because you're not head coaching.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, some of these guys, they get fired as a head coach, like Gase, or like, who was your other Jet head coach? Rex. And then they immediately take another job.
And it's the worst for you.
A head job.
Yes.
Because you don't have time to reflect on what you did wrong.
100%. Like Adam Gase probably took the Jet job and was like, I didn't do anything wrong in Miami. So I do think that Robert Saleh, if he changes some of the mistakes he made, can be a good head coach. But
like not giving a cell phone to Joe Beningo?
That may be one of them. But right now it's just sad because Aaron Glenn, and I like Aaron Glenn. I think we all like Aaron Glenn. We want him to be successful. He's off to the worst start a rookie head coach has ever gotten off to in the history of the New York Jets.
Sports
and
talk,
that's a sad state of affairs.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
It's That Kind of Monday. When we come back, calls on the Jets, Yankees, and Giants. Everyone has strong opinions, plus what Luke Weaver said after the game the other day and why it should concern you. Well, congratulations to Luke Weaver. Because he got an out in game two, he now has an ERA for the postseason. Before that, he did not because he had faced six batters and they had all gotten on base. So he didn't have an ERA. He hadn't recorded an out. That's how bad things have been for Luke Weaver. And I think most of us admit that for whatever reason, enough's enough. Boone cannot use him in any kind of big spot. So Luke Weaver was asked, and I really want you to analyze this for me because if you didn't hear it, this may rub you the wrong way. Luke Weaver was simply asked, you know, what's going on? Like, why are you so bad?
Right.
Obviously not in that tone, not, hey, why do you suck, Luke? How about that? But it was, hey, you're struggling.
Right.
Try to walk us through what's going on. Take a listen to his answer and tell us your thoughts.
There's been a lot of internal factors. I don't want to get too crazy into it, but there's been adjustments I've had to make based off of things that people are seeing, and it just hasn't really lined up. It's been pretty late in the adjustment period, and it's just not lining up out there. I don't really feel like myself. I don't feel like my mind is completely clear to go out there and attack. I do feel physically strong. I do feel mentally strong overall. I just think there's just some factors that are building up, and they're just not. I'm just not executing at the clip I want to.
Sounds like he's blaming others.
He's blaming Matt Blake.
Is that what it was?
That's exactly what it was. And he doesn't even care.
He's a free agent. He's like, whatever.
Exactly. He doesn't even care. Yeah. He probably pitched his last moments as a Yankee, and he knows it. And so he's calling out the Yankees pitching coach.
That they're tinkering with him.
Yes. They're telling him to do things that he's not comfortable doing, and it's changing the way that he's pitching. So, I mean, it's a cop-out. You shouldn't do it. But who cares? You can say whatever you want on your way out the door.
Yeah, it tells you two things. Number one, obviously he's gone at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Why would you re-sign him?
Right.
And number two, you cannot pitch him in this postseason.
No chance. Because he has no confidence in himself.
No, he's telling you.
Right. And so teams obviously know that he has no confidence in himself, so they're not afraid of him. Last year you felt like teams were afraid. They didn't know it. They didn't know what they were getting with him.
It was weird. So Luke Weaver was having a good year, got hurt, came back, struggled, started pitching better. And I forget which game it was. It was one of the post games. Luke Weaver didn't take accountability. And it was like, whoa, that was weird. Because I like Luke Weaver. He's got a really weird personality, kind of seems like a cool dude, kind of funny. And I heard it, and I just went one ear out the other. Like, all right, he's not taking accountability, whatever. This interview, though, jumped out at me. Like, what the hell was that? Like, all you have to say is, yeah, I'm struggling. And that's it.
Right.
And instead it was, I'm going to blame the coaching staff.
Of course.
Which is exactly what he did. So I think the lesson in this is he should not pitch for the rest of this series.
Yeah.
And probably even if the Yankees advance, shouldn't be on a league championship series roster.
Look, he's aggrieved. He's airing his grievance. And he has every right to do so. He didn't do it explicitly. He didn't say, Matt Blake screwed me up. But he basically said, Matt Blake screwed me up.
Yeah. You listen carefully. That's what he said.
Yes.
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. John in Garden City. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. So, I mean, I've called you guys a million times. You probably know I'm like a maniacal Yankee fan. And it's something from game one that's just been annoying me.
Go ahead.
I tried to get answers. And I want you guys to see if you can explain it. And if not, maybe get me an answer. So, right after Judge struck out with the bases loaded, who came up? Ben Rice.
Mm-hmm. Ben Rice.
Awful.
Yes.
And who was available? And by the way, Mr. Analytics, the button pusher, Aaron Boone, who always makes moves that favor the numbers. I'm going to get a little loud now. Goldschmidt is 10 for 22 against Kevin Gausman. Why didn't he let him hit? Yeah. Rice looked terrible. That might have changed the whole series. Let's say, fine, he doesn't get a hit. Maybe it chases Gausman early. Maybe you have a different run of luck with the guy. Why would you leave? I love Ben Rice. He's great. He's not great against that kind of pitcher. Why didn't they make that move? It was sitting right there.
I'll
the button could have been pushed.
I'll tell you why I'm going to start a fight right now. Because he got bullied by Tiki Barber and Sean Morash. Got to play your dogs. Got to play Ben Rice. Got to play Ben Rice. Got to play Ben Rice. Well, he played Ben Rice despite the numbers, which he pointed out, and it's true. Paul Goldschmidt has better career numbers against Kevin Gausman. But, Tiki, he listened to you. He listened to Sean. I got to play Ben Rice.
Damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Those are the breaks.
And I'm going to go down. True. I'm going to go down with the assumption Ben Rice has a place on this team for the next 8 to 10 years. And no matter what, if this team wasn't going to win anything this year, I'd rather him have that experience than Paul Goldschmidt, who's not here next year.
Ben Rice is 0 for 10 with 4 strikeouts against Kevin Gausman.
Okay.
Paul Goldschmidt is 10 for 22.
I'm so sick of this.
Well, you can be sick of it as much as...
I'm so sick of it.
Sean, before you answer, you could be sick of it as much as you want. How did Ben Rice do against Kevin Gausman?
He didn't play
well. So then maybe the numbers, which annoy you so much and annoy everybody listening so much, maybe they mean something.
Maybe they mean nothing also. Maybe they mean nothing also. Maybe that's not the same Paul Goldschmidt that's faced Kevin Gausman his whole career. Maybe the fact... By the way, so now Ben Rice was 0-10. So Ben Rice, now that's it. We never play him again the rest of his career. How do you get better on those numbers? By playing versus guys and seeing them more. I'm so tired of hearing about the numbers versus pitchers all the time. Every year is a new year. You're the one who's told me that.
I have.
It's a new year. So stop. I'm not worried about Paul Goldschmidt's numbers 4 years ago against Kevin Gausman.
So I think that numbers versus individual pitchers are tricky. Mm-hmm. I don't live by it like you have to, but I think you should look at it and you should make decisions. Where our caller brings up a very good point that I don't think many people brought up was after the first two at-bats in which he strikes out, you should know Goldie's numbers. You should have in the back of your mind.
Right.
Do you make an in-game adjustment and say, you know what?
Yes, you probably should.
Okay. So our caller's right. He brings up a valid point.
Or counterpoint. How many times do we hear third time through the orders? Usually when guys get a better look and figure it out too.
You can rationalize it however you like. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that I don't want you to think I'm telling you that those numbers mean everything. I'm not saying that they do, but you also can't ignore them. So you want to play a game?
I mean, okay.
We're going to play it no matter what.
I like Tiki's game earlier, by the way.
Paul Goldschmidt's 3-for-6 against Shane Bieber. Does that mean anything to you when Boone makes a lineup tomorrow or not?
It doesn't.
It's a small sample size. That's why I'm letting you know. He's 3-for-6. Do you play him? Does it not matter? Ben Rice has never seen him. So Ben Rice doesn't have a negative feeling towards Shane Bieber, but... We can get ahead of this.
I would say this.
You tell me.
I have no issue playing Paul Goldschmidt tomorrow, but it has more with the fact that I'm okay after a lineup was lifeless basically for two games, just shaking up something and playing a veteran in a do-or-die game, and less to do with the fact that he's 3-for-6 in his career.
Okay. What about you, Tig? You want to play Goldie or stick with Ben? Mm.
Can I say I don't care?
Of course you can.
Can I say that I'm getting apathetic to this Yankee team?
Wow. You like Sean? You give it up?
No, the ineptitude is bad.
It was
like
two
games. You're in the divisional seat. But they gave up 23 runs.
But that has nothing to do with Ben Rice and Paul Goldschmidt.
I understand that.
Don't blame them for
it. But I almost feel like, does it matter?
Well, Yankee fans are feeling that way.
If they give up, if they're pitching is as garbage as it was in Toronto, then of course it doesn't matter.
So we're talking about, we started the show talking about Aaron Judge. This isn't on Aaron Judge. This is on Max Fried.
Bro, bases loaded and nobody out.
I hear you.
Game one changed the entire series.
Game one, it is what it is.
It changed the series.
It's game one. No, it didn't.
I disagree
game
with
two
you.
Game two changed the series where your ace, the guy you're paying for the next 8 years at $30-something million a year, whatever the heck he is, not, probably not quite 30, but you know what I mean. He got rocked. He's chased in the third inning or fourth inning.
Okay.
Like, that's what screwed you in this series.
It obviously caused this hole to game, but just let me ask you this, and you have a better answer than anybody as a pro athlete. You have every right to slap me down after I make my case.
Go ahead.
If Aaron Judge comes through, bases loaded, nobody out, doubles up the alley, whole game changes, bullpen usage changes, the game changes,
maybe.
At least game one.
Maybe, because we don't know how Luis Hill's going to continue to pitch. In fact, Vlad Guerrero...
Well, he's already out of the game at that point.
He's owning everybody in this series. Doesn't matter. He's hitting 700 at this point. Maybe Toronto's actually pretty damn good.
Or maybe Boone doesn't go to Luke Weaver. I don't know. Mm. But my point is, even if we can't assume the Yankees win, the game is managed differently. Judge clears the bases.
Is it?
Yes! Well, first of all, Gausman's out of the game right then and there. And B, I don't know how Boone manages with the same bullpen. I don't think so. He goes to Paul Blackburn in the seventh inning. That's not happening. So at least if you can just go under the notion that does change game one, maybe you're right, Evan. If the Yankees are up 1-0, do you think everything plays out the same way in game two? You think Savage just is relaxed? You think the Blue Jay hitters are the same? You think everything plays out the same? You know the pressure is different.
Yeah, but
momentum's only as good as your next day starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And Toronto, I think, would have proved that anyway.
With a kid making four major league starts, I don't know if his mentality is exactly the same. Down 0-1 is 1-0.
Just looking at him, he doesn't look like he's affected by anything.
Maybe.
He was so dialed in, it didn't matter.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah,
but that's
why, that was my gut from, and again, I'm watching him on television. I'm not even at the game. I'm half paying attention because football's on. But that was my takeaway from Yeshevish. Yesavage. How the heck you say
Yesavage.
It? Yesavage.
What a cool name, by the way.
It's great.
Yes, Savage.
Yes, I am Savage.
It's only one S though, so it's Yesavage.
Yes.
But it's like Yes Savage.
Maybe it's Yesavage.
Yesavage? Nah. Because they had mom and dad on.
And what did they say?
They didn't say it, but they didn't correct anybody. They would have corrected everybody.
No, they wouldn't have.
You don't think so?
No. They're not used to being on television.
What did you say? Yesevich?
Yesevich.
Yesevich?
You got to find out the, are they from Poland?
They're from Pennsylvania.
No, original.
They're from a farm in Pennsylvania.
No, like their family.
All I know is that when the mom started crying, I almost started crying. Because it got me emotional. Yeah. Like, yeah, man, if my son was out there dealing, even for a Canadian team, I'd be really excited.
You know what? I just rooted for one thing and one thing only to happen in my life. I want Jet Roberts to make the major leagues, and I want Evan's only chance at seeing a Mets World Series to come down to Jet pitching against the Mets in a Game 7 and mowing them down.
I think I'd easily root for my son.
I know you would, but still, the idea of that would be a one shot. You know,
that'd be fitting, though, wouldn't it?
I'm rooting for that.
It'd be amazing.
That'd be fitting.
You know what? I don't care who plays tonight. I'm going to that game.
Are you? Let's go to Josh in Queens. Hey, Josh.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Boys, let me tell you. These Monday calls are draining my soul with this Jets team. They are just, they're a bunch of losers. They're all a bunch of losers. And it's not even, you could blame Breece Hall for fumbling. You could blame Justin Fields for not being able to throw the ball. A la, his stats are so padded because he has so much garbage time, by the way.
True.
Just like last week. And you could say, oh, Garrett Wilson, he's balling, he's catching touchdowns. He stinks, too. They're all a bunch of losers, and it's because of Woody Johnson. It starts from the top. Look at Todd Bowles. Look at Robert Saleh. Look at all the former Jets across the league that are playing, and they're balling. And look at this team, a bunch of losers. Steve Wilks. He's a loser, too, because he got fired his first year in Carolina. This team stinks. They stink because Woody Johnson lets them stink. And Tiki, by the way, another stat I'd like to point out to you. Alvin Kamara passed you on the receptions list all time. That. I love you guys. Bye.
Appreciate it.
I love how he throws that in there. By the way, I got to play this for you because I don't even know if you heard this. And if you did hear it, just pretend like it didn't.
I did not hear this. Oh. I was listening to Carl and people told me about it, but I have not heard it.
So
I was listening to Carl and Bob and Carl call the game.
So Alvin Kamara passed, not just Tiki Barre, he passed somebody else.
Is
on the
Mara?
Kamara. Yeah, Alvin Kamara. Like Kamara. John Mara.
Yes.
Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara passed Tiki and someone else on the all-time receptions list, but he passed you most receptions with one team. So yeah. Very cool. So they show
Marcus
the graphic.
Allen?
It may have been, actually. It may have been. So they show the graphic on the screen, and Charles Davis looks at the graphic and says this about him passing Tiki Barre.
And our friend Tiki Barre, who entered the day tied with Kamara for the most catches by a running back with one team. Look at all the Hall of Fame stickers that are up there on that list. I have to tell you, Tiki Barre, examine his numbers. Examine his play. Hall of Fame members, I implore you. Yeah. Get a heck of a career.
We agree.
How about that? Charles Davis stumping for my man.
I love that.
That was good stuff.
Thank you, CD. He's the best.
Very, very cool.
Looking forward to hearing him all the rest of this year and the next year as the lead analyst on college football on CBS.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. By the way, did you hear the bad news? I'm just going to say it.
About?
Ian Eagle is such a superstar and is such an amazing broadcaster.
Here we go. This has nothing to do with football, people, so don't get worried.
It actually has everything to do with football.
Yeah, but it does, but not. It does.
Ian Eagle is so busy slaying it.
He's being prudent.
As a broadcaster on CBS with the NFL.
He's not going to waste his time any longer. He's got J.J. Watt on his side hip.
He's also doing basketball, Amazon. Is it Amazon Prime?
Amazon Prime is
Amazon
the lead
Prime,
voice.
Yeah.
He's doing the lead work for Amazon Prime.
Brunson burner ignited.
All right, shut up, Ian. Mm. He's doing so much that he has decided to cut down on his Brooklyn Nets schedule. And I heard this news. I was very disappointed. I texted him.
The Nets still in the league.
Very passive-aggressively. So you're too busy for us? But I do congratulate him.
The hapless Nets.
I don't know if I could say it. He loves doing the Nets.
No, yeah, of course. That's why he's doing 10 games. But
exactly. He wants to continue to do it, but it's tough.
Way too much.
No, he is.
And he's the lead college basketball voice on CBS.
I know. He is you hear him everywhere.
But the one thing I would say is, while I'm glad he's sticking around for 10 games, kind of like how Sean would go to Yankees Blue Jays if it was 1-1.
Right. How many of those 10 games are going to be only the big games?
Well, I'm curious if
they don't play any, though, to be fair.
Yeah, well, it's a big game. If the Nets were good.
LeBron on his retirement tour.
That's true. Would Ian keep it at 20 games? Mm. Or because they're rebuilding, he's like, I'll go 10.
No.
I'm just curious. Mm. Would it be more if they were good?
If they got Cooper Flagg and won the lottery.
Yeah. If they got Cooper Flagg, how many games is Ian doing?
Probably at least 30.
12? Oh, 30. Okay.
At least 30. I'm saying, if Cooper Flagg is there, because I like Jordy. He's a good coach.
We all love Jordy.
But, what reason do you have to watch the Nets?
Well, five rookies hoping they develop. That's what I'm going to tell myself.
Five rookies. Sean, can you name your rookies?
Yes.
Demean.
It's not how you pronounce it, but okay.
I'm going to get used to it. Powell.
There you go.
Wolf.
Yeah.
And it's the French kid. I forgot his name.
No, he's Israeli.
Oh.
Ben Saraf.
Saraf.
Okay. Mm. The other thing is...
You're the nerd. I couldn't ask you that question.
No.
You would have ripped them all off.
I know my entire
roster.
So
I had to ask the less nerdy, more lay fan.
Oh,
right. What was worse, Sean not knowing or Evan knowing?
I was thinking of Traore.
Oh. Well, you forgot him.
Yes, that's who I was saying, and you're telling me, Sarah.
So they both forgot. My point is made. My point has been
made. Traore didn't look that bad on Saturday. Did you see the Nets? They beat Jerusalem by 50.
Wait, did we have five first-round picks or four?
Yes, five.
The Nets still in the league.
That's where I was getting. I was getting at four, and we both be okay.
You got four out of five. Anyhow, on a much more serious level, and I do want everyone to know about this, just in case you're not aware, LeBron James tweeted out earlier today that
this is
making,
what I was alluding to.
He's making another decision tomorrow at 12 noon.
Yeah, but he put it out there like it was something.
Yeah, like he played a video of him sitting down, very much like how he did a decade and a half ago with, what's his name? The guy stuck in Tom Brady's tuchus. What's his name?
Rob Gronkowski?
No, the guy
Tom, what's his name?
Jim Gray,
yeah.
Oh, him.
So he put out like a mock video of LeBron saying, hey, I'm going to make the decision too. And so it's tomorrow at noon. And here's the two kind of speculative things. Number one, he's announcing his retirement, which I think makes a lot of sense so he can have a full retirement tour. I mean, what great player doesn't go on a retirement
100%.
Tour?
And if anybody in the history of the NBA deserves a highfalutin retirement tour, it's LeBron James.
You're right. He does deserve it. I wouldn't even be mad about it.
No, of course not.
The second option, and I am warning LeBron, this better not be it, is some kind of ad campaign with name the random company, with Verizon or FanDuel or Pizza Hut or ESPN. Like, it can't be that. It has to be his retirement or something significantly big. I'm not sure what else it would be. So my belief is that tomorrow at noon, LeBron's going to make that announcement, which I think is actually a service because I think fans around the country here in New York as well, you want to not pay your respects to LeBron. He's not dead. Right. But see him if you've never seen him before.
Right. It's actually good for the NBA.
100%.
Especially for a lot of these smaller markets that you know, when he comes to town, people want to go and see him.
But you know what this means?
But he can't not sit in those games.
He's got to play every game.
100%.
And even if it's 15 minutes or 20 minutes, you cannot do this. Right. And then a day before he gets to Washington, say,
LeBron's taking a back-to-back, couple back-to-backs off in the next week or so. So, sorry.
He can't do that.
Or if he has one of those situations where he's in Brooklyn on a Tuesday and at the Garden on Thursday, he sits for the Brooklyn game and plays. Because he's done that before.
Didn't he do that recently?
I think he did it last year.
He did that when, I think, me and Evan were at the game, and he sat when they played the Nets and they were playing the Knicks. This might have been a couple of years ago, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I know that 2 years ago, late in the year, LeBron was coming to Brooklyn, and I went out of my way and said, I'm going to take you, Jet, to see him. And it was unbelievable. Right. He put on such a show in that second half that even I was like, you know what? I'm proud that you got to see this because he is an all-time great, and you'll never forget it. Like, you got this. I think he scored 40. I think he dropped a 40-burger on the Nets, and it was April. It was late in the year, and it was like, whatever. Who cares at this point? Right. But I do think that if he does announce his retirement, which I think it will be. You agree, right?
I mean, what else would it be?
A campaign.
He's 40 years old.
A negative campaign.
But he doesn't need to do that. I mean, he's already a billionaire. He's all the campaigns he's involved with, you know, already. So it would be a stupid ploy.
It would be, especially if he's using the decision to do it.
Yes.
Like, if he does the decision, the same thing, like, I've given it a lot of thought, like, kind of mocks it, because it was a pinnacle moment of his career.
Right. I'm taking my talents to Pizza Hut.
I'm taking my talents to being a father. And I am retiring from the NBA.
Apparently, he has signed an exclusive or some kind of big deal with Amazon on tomorrow's Prime Day.
Oh, no.
That seems to be the building.
That's what it is.
And it's
I'm not watching.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot about the Amazon.
I'm not watching it. I'm not watching it.
God. LeBron. What are you doing?
Are you surprised, though? This is par for the course for this guy.
I'm not surprised. I laid it out that it was a possibility, so I'm not surprised. And it's just more disappointing.
Why would he retire? He's still at the top of his... He's like a top 10 player in the NBA.
I think the way I look at it with him is, how old is he now?
40.
He's 40.
Okay, he's 40. He is still a top player. I think he is definitely retiring with a predetermined announcement. Mm. I do not think he's going to retire after a season ends and be like, I'm out.
Well,
he could do
you.
That if he wants.
And the season is almost upon us. Not quite, but it's almost here.
So if I'm playing the head of the time game that he's going to do a year tour, which he absolutely deserves, Tiki's right, and he's already 40, so if he doesn't do it, he's committing to next year too, I'm kind of thinking like it's over.
Yeah, and what happens if he gets hurt?
That's the scary thing. You don't want your career ending that way.
His career ends and he doesn't get to have this tour.
Well, he'll come back. He'll do what Kobe did. He will fight to come back like Mariano
did. 42?
Yes. You're not letting your career end that way, which is why I agree with you that it makes sense to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's going to play five more years, God bless him. He can play as long as he wants.
Yeah.
But that's why I was kind of under the assumption now is the time.
Yeah. Thank you, SNY, for joining us. As always, Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Deal.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.